This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this week. We'll hear today first from Frontier Gentlemen, his episode from April 6th, 1958, titled The Powder River Kid. After that, it's Now Hear This and Lady, their episode from October 7th, 1951.
There seem to be only two kinds of people in Montana Territory, the good and the bad. Sometimes it's hard to tell which is which.
Frontier Gentlemen, now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall. Frontier Gentlemen.
I was on my way back to Fort Benton on the Missouri River when I reached Helena. There, I was lucky enough to receive an offer of transportation in a wagon. So I sold my horse and we set out on the Mullen Road. My companion, or bullwhacker as he called himself, was a leathery, stringy chap who might have been 50 or 70. It was hard to tell. His name was George Scales, and he seemed more than happy to have someone to talk to.
Yes, sir, I was one of the first out of the California Gold Rush. Went out with my father in 49. How old do you figure I am, boy?
Well,
58. 58. Wouldn't think it, would you?
Well,
58. Never had a sick day in my life. Been married 3 times, buried 2. The 3rd got took by Apache down in Arizona Territory. I pity the poor son of a gun Indian that's hooked up with her. Boy, she was the meanest piece of calico you ever set eyes on. It was a lucky day for me. You married?
No,
you take my advice, boy. What'd you say your name was?
Kendall.
Kendall. You ain't kin to the Brown County, Texas Kendalls, are you?
No.
Well, come to think of it, their name wasn't Kendall, it was Bridget. Now, how come you figure I misremembered that? What was we talking about?
I'm not quite sure.
Now, you take my father. 86 years old, 2 weeks back. I'm taking him home to bury him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, anything for sorrow. All got to go up Salt River sometime. Old Buzzard's been out in California better than 30 years. There ain't no place for a man to sack his saddle, so last trip out, I said, Paul, I got to take you back to Kentucky, because when you bite the dust, it ain't fit to do it in this here place. That's what I said.
I see.
Well, we got us a place in Kentucky. Figure he ought to rest comfortable there.
Well, did he die on the way from California?
If he did, since you got on back in Helena, the old Buzzard ain't dead yet. He's asleep in the wagon.
Oh.
Eats and sleeps. Ain't much else to do, I guess. Old Buzzard, deep as a post. When he wakes up, you just say hello, smile at him, and he'll think that's just fine. Oh, you want a chaw?
No, thank you.
You don't talk much, do you?
No, I suppose not.
What's your business?
I'm a newspaper correspondent.
Writer?
Yes.
Newspaper feller, huh?
Yes, that's right.
Had me a run-in with one of your kind back in 62, maybe 63. I was a mule skinner with Major McCleave down in Apache country. You ever been down there?
No.
Mean, purely mean country. Ain't fitting for nothing.
Hey! Danny?
Hey, the old Buzzard woke up.
Everything's fine, Paul.
I'm happy.
Oh, you ain't never nothing but, Paul. Got a way to go yet, Paul. Hey, this here's Mr. Kendall. He got on in Helena.
How do you do, Mr. Scales?
Don't matter what you say, just talking loud.
Understand you're going back to Kentucky. What is he saying?
There's no telling. You go on back to sleep, you old buzzard. I'll tell you when it's time gonna eat. He's gonna do it. Guess he didn't like you.
Oh?
Paul meets a stranger, he'll chalk your ear off. Talkingest man I ever seen. If he don't take you, he does what I tell him. Like it or not, he'll keep his mouth shut now till you get off in the bed.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no cause, no cause, mister. Man can't help what he is. So I just hope you ain't like that sheep-killing dog of a newspaper fella I was telling you about. I sure did sharpen my hoe on him.
Well, whatever he did, I assure you, I'll be very careful not to make the same mistake.
Newspaper fella.
At midday, we stopped for our meal. Scales, Senior, and Junior kept up an extraordinary conversation, during which time I was completely ignored. The pair reminded me a little of Dickensian characters, a certain gentleman and his aged parent. After his food, the aged parent clambered back into the wagon and presumably went back to sleep as we continued on our way. An offering of tobacco mellowed Scales somewhat, and I felt that possibly I might be forgiven for my sin by association. It was late that afternoon when we saw the three riders. They were halted by the side of the road.
If when you know how to use that gun of yours, Kendall, you better be ready to reach.
You think they're outlaws?
Man's bone seasoned. He don't take chances, not in these parts.
Looks as though one of them is hurt.
Well, that's a fact. Well, I'll be a hoy-belly stump sucker. A woman. One's a woman. Look at that. If that don't beat all. Whoa! 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 Hey! Hey, you got trouble?
Haven't got any medicines, have you?
No, got some whiskey.
It's my husband. He's hurt kind of bad.
That ain't nothing, I tell you, Dora.
Just let me rest a while, we'll get on.
You ain't gonna make it,
Bill. Shut up. Mister, I'll buy your whiskey. That'll fix me.
No such thing. It isn't whiskey you need. Either of you gents know about doctrine?
No, ma'am.
I know a little, not much.
Let him take a look, Bill. Jack, here, come on. Give him a hand, guy.
You know, Kendall, I got a feeling I know that fella. I seen him, but I ain't sure where.
Why don't you bring the whiskey out, Mr. Scales? Oh. It looks as if he can use it.
All right.
Yeah. Here, get your jacket off, Bill.
Easy, woman, now take it easy.
Oh, man, that sure looks wicked.
You better sit down. There's the rock over there.
Yeah.
Come on. When did it happen?
3 days ago.
Did you get the bullet out?
No.
I'm all right, I tell you. Just let me rest.
You're not all right. That's gangrene, the shoulder and arm. There's a doctor in Helena. It won't take you more than 3 hours to get there.
We ain't going to Helena, mister. We're going to Fort Benton.
But that's over 100 miles. You've already got a fever. If I were you,
I'd... ain't me.
Oh, Bill, he's right. Now, please, let's go back.
No.
I think I could remove the bullet, but that won't help.
You ain't no doctor.
Hey, pour some of this panther juice in your gizzard. Cure everything from the rattles to...
No, ain't gonna cure that.
Give me the bottle. Take a good big slug, Bill.
Hey, don't I know him someplace?
Not likely to, mister.
I ain't never forgot a face. I swear I seen his. Mind if I ask your name? I'm obliged for your whiskey. We'll be moving on.
Oh, Bill, what good is it going to be? You're sick. You can't ride all that way. I do like he said.
Dora, you heard what I said. Come on.
Oh, Bill.
He fainted. We carried him to the wagon, put him inside. The aged parent woke up, smiled pleasantly at the newcomers, and watched with interest as the wife and the one called Jack did what they could to make the wounded man comfortable. I felt a tug at my sleeve. Scales drew me away from the wagon.
I know him. I remember. I know who he is. I'll never forget a man's face. Only difference now, he ain't got that mustache he used to wear. The Powder River Kid, Bill Logan, that's who. Oh, ain't you got no savvy? The Powder River Kid. He's wanted in more territories than even James Boys. Oh, I've seen the posters. There's $2,000 reward for him, dead or alive. Well, what do you say?
Make pretty good sharings, huh? Muy dinero. 1,000 for you, 1,000 for me.
Of course, his wife and his friend might have something to say about that.
Then we shoot him. Sure, shoot him now, and then we take the kid on into Benton and collect.
I don't think he'll live that long. Not without a doctor.
Who's talking about alive? Posters say live or dead. If you think of it, we would be better off if we shot him. Might save a sack full of trouble. I seen him draw once, down in Virginia City it was. He fanned two men down so quick he had his gun back in the holster before they hit the girl.
Mister?
Yes? Coming.
Hey, that little fella's getting out of the wagon, too. We gonna kill him?
No.
He's still unconscious. Mister, you said you could take out the bullet. Maybe it'd do some good.
There's too much poison. He's got one chance, and that's to take him back to Helena.
Is this your wagon, Mr. Kendall?
No, ma'am. It's mine, George Scales.
Mr. Scales, I'll pay you $200 if you'll turn around. Take us back to Helena.
Well, now, that's a mighty attractive offer.
I don't know, Dory. Bill said...
I don't care what he said. Right now, he's dying.
No, I ain't. Mister, my wife offers you $200 to take me back to Helena. You let me rest a while in your wagon till I'm fit to ride the other way, I'll make it $300. That's fair. Yes, sir, that's a fair deal. I'll do that. Make yourself to home. The old buzzard's my paw. If he talks at you too much, just better good and loud. Go to sleep, you old buzzard.
You ride in here with me, Dory. Jack, stay on your horse.
Sure, Bill. Just take it easy.
All right, boys, let's bounce.
Good idea to camp pretty soon.
Bet the Powder River kid thinks so. This trail ain't the softest. Hey, how long you figure till he hangs up his hat?
I don't know. But I wouldn't worry about it.
I ain't worrying. River knows some thinking. How come you suppose he don't want to go back to Helena?
Somebody's after him, I imagine.
That's my guess. If somebody's a U.S. Marshal and that Marshal finds him before the kid dies, you figure maybe we'll have to cut another share on the reward?
A fine legal point.
Well, I ain't gonna worry. Dark coming on. Hey, there's a likely looking clearing up the road. Yeah, I gotta feed the old buzzard. Hiya! Hiya! Yeah! Fire!
After the supper, I walked away from the camp to a rise overlooking the Missouri. There were flashes of lightning in the east, and you could see the outline of heavy, black clouds. But there hadn't been any rain yet. I stood for about 10 minutes, smoking my pipe. Then I heard steps behind me.
Scales said you come up this way.
How's your husband?
Oh, I think the fever's worse. Will he make it?
I'm not a doctor.
You don't have to be.
You should have gone back to Helena.
He couldn't. He was afraid to. Scales knows who he is, doesn't he? You know.
Yes.
There's been a marshal trailing us for 6 months. He caught up with Bill and Helena. My brother Jack helped him get away, and we hid out in town for 3 days.
Well, why didn't you get a doctor?
Oh, he wouldn't let us. There's a reward. Bill was afraid a doctor would try and collect. Just like your friend wants to.
He is pretty obvious, isn't he?
Oh, man's luck runs out. Coyotes started snapping for the leavings. Me and Bill was on our way to Benton before the marshal caught up with him. We figured on going back east.
Were you and your brother both working with Logan?
No. And Bill hasn't done anything wrong since we was married. Mr. Kendall, I'll tell you a straight thing. I haven't been what a man like you'd call a decent woman. Most of my life, I've been a wild one. But not since Bill.
I wish I could help Mrs. Logan.
I really come to ask you to... I saw it done once before with a man's leg that got like Bill's arm. They cut it off.
Yes, I had thought of that. Too late. The poison's in his shoulder. It wouldn't do any good. I'm sorry.
A preacher out in Utah married us. He'd never heard of the Powder River Kid. He thought we was nice folks. Well, I better get back to the camp.
I went with her. Jack was with Logan in the wagon. Scale's father was sitting on his haunches by the campfire, sucking on a piece of root candy and whittling a sliver of wood. He rocked back and forth, humming to himself. Scales leaned against a tree, ruminating on a piece of tobacco. He beckoned to me.
What'd she want?
She wanted me to cut off his arm.
That's a woman for you. Game to do it?
No. Wouldn't do any good. Probably kill him.
You sure wouldn't think he was a gunslinger, would you? Not now, you wouldn't. Sick and whimpering like a dying pup.
You think we could go on tonight?
Not on this trail. With the rains coming, no, sir. Besides, the old buzzard don't like traveling in the dark. Yeah, I hope he don't keep that up all night. None of us will get any shut-eye.
Anything I can do, Jack?
No. He's sick to the head right now. Don't even know Dory.
Honey, don't.
Dory says you know about us. We figured so. You're all right, Kendall. My sister does, too. But I want to tell you not to start thinking about that reward.
A few minutes later, it began to rain and continued intermittently all through the night. But the dawn was clear and bright. It took the combined efforts of oxen, horses, and men to take the wagon back onto the trail. The wheels had sunk nearly hub-deep in mud. But as the sun rose, we were on our way northward again. Bill Logan was no longer delirious, but in the grayness of his face, I knew that he didn't have long to live. It was during the early afternoon that his wife called out to me.
Mr. Kendall?
Yes?
Will you come back a minute?
All right.
Maybe he's dead, huh?
Maybe.
He wants to talk to you.
Sorry, go on up with that bull whacker. What I got to say is private.
Make him stay quiet.
Come over closer, will you? The old man asleep.
Yes.
Now listen, I'm finished. I ain't a doctor. Nothing gonna help me now. I'm feeling. Now, I never asked a favor. No man in my life. I'm asking one now.
What is it?
There's a reward for me. It ain't much, only $2,000, but it means something for Dory. I ain't gonna pay no reward for a man that's died natural like. Or if they do like us, not go to that Marshall fella for starting me off. I want you to fix it so Dory can get it.
Well, how?
You fill me full of lead.
Shoot you?
Yeah, shoot me.
No.
I trust you. You see, I trust you to give the money to Dory.
You're out of your head.
No, mister. I ain't last night, but not now. It's the best I can do for her. She's a good woman. Now, let me give her something so she don't have to go back to what she was.
I can't kill you.
You got a right to. Look, I'm wanted, Kendall. I've done more killings than I can remember. It ain't a wrong thing for you to do. You could say I was trying to escape.
No, I can't.
If not drawn,
it doesn't make any difference. We both know you wouldn't shoot. I'm sorry. I don't think he felt very much pain after that. He just drank Scale's whiskey and talked quietly to his wife. He died just before the sun went down.
Well, I guess he's dead now.
I think so.
You figure she want to take him into Benton or bury him out here?
I don't know.
Sure does seem a shame and a sin to see that reward go up in smoke.
Perhaps it doesn't have to.
How do you mean? How come?
I could ride back to Helena. Wouldn't take more than a few hours.
What good does that do?
And I'd take him back with me.
Yeah?
All you have to do is to see that they don't try to stop me.
Listen, boy, for $1,000, nobody's going to stop you. The old buzzard's still spry enough to hold a gun. I just have to tell him who to point it at, is all. Hey, how do I know you come back?
Well, I imagine you'll just have to take my word for it.
Hmm. Ain't never trusted a newspaper feller yet, but I guess there ain't no choice.
I give you my word of honor. I'll come back.
All right. Oh, courage in there, too. Why, ain't going to be nothing to it. All right, Curry, you keep your hands high. Both of you get over to the other side of the wagon. The Powder River kid's going back to Helena.
Scales shouted instructions to his father, who disarmed the dead man and Curry, then held a gun steady, a smile on his old face, head nodding approvingly. I took Logan's body out of the wagon and tied it onto a horse. Just before I rode away, I saw Mrs. Logan watching me, crying, a soundless, terrible cry. I must have traveled 10 miles in the night before I found the courage to do what I had to do. I led the horses off the road, tethered them, and took down Logan's body. He looked peaceful. Forgive me, Logan. I delivered the body to the marshal in Helena and collected $2,000 reward for the capture and killing of Bill Logan, alias the Powder River Kid. Then I took the horses and rode back to where I'd left the wagon.
Did you get it, boy? Did you get the money?
I got it.
One of these days, I'm going to catch up with you, mister.
Get on your horse. You too, Mrs. Logan. Go on.
One of these days.
That was fine, boy. Fine. Now, come on. Let's divvy up.
Afraid not, Mr. Scales. I've got some bad news for you. You are getting nothing.
What?
Exactly. Drop your gun, or the old buzzard's going to lose his son.
Oh. I might have known. Just like the other one. A stinking, no good, low down paper
Scales. It's been a most unpleasant association. I took Logan's horse and caught up with Mrs. Logan and her brother a little further along the Mullen Road. I gave her the $2,000, and together we rode on into Fort Benton, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Joe Kearns, Paula Winslow, Larry Dobkin, Barney Phillips, and Robert Roudier. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Frontier Gentlemen has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, presents Now Hear This, dramatic stories based on the personal experiences of those gallant men and women who embody the great traditions of a great service, the United States Navy.
During 30 years in the Navy, sailor manages to get aboard every kind of ship that floats. Now, I've tossed a duffel bag aboard everything from a sub to a PT boat to a destroyer to an aircraft carrier. Aircraft carrier. Sounds like a lot of power, doesn't it? Well, it is. That is, if you're talking about the ones that are steaming around the Pacific today. However, after that outing the Japs had on December the 7th, well, we were just about down to scratch. We needed carriers, and we needed them fast. So fast that we couldn't wait the 2 years it took to build one. And so we settled on what we called baby carriers. And believe me, they were babies. You know, the first time I saw one, I figured she'd been launched in a bathtub. Anyway, one of the first to roll into the sea was christened the USS Tasman. As soon as she got her bottom wet, she started across the Pacific. She stopped at Pearl for a final shakedown and then turned on all 18 knots and went looking for a fight.
The flight deck is made out of redwood, correct?
Correct.
Kind of small, isn't it?
Well, just long enough to get them up and bring them down.
It seems to me, Boats, that this ship is pretty vulnerable. Can't go very fast, and she hasn't enough guns to protect herself.
Well, she can turn on a dime, and the gunners don't miss. At least, they aren't supposed to.
It looks like a lifeboat next to the Lexington.
Well, she'll hold her own. And Captain's orders were for me to show you everything. What's next?
You don't go much for reporters, do you, Boats?
Every man to his own job. What's next?
Well, the rest of the ship's history I can get from the printed material they gave me. I'd like to meet the men. I'd like to get their stories.
Which ones?
The pilots.
Now we've got 24 planes aboard, 12 Avengers and 12 Wildcats.
Well, propaganda's an important weapon, Boats. Helps morale at home and helps the boys themselves.
Every man to his own job. The pilots hang out in the ready room in here. Some of them are in the sack, some looking over their planes, but there's plenty of stories in here. Help yourself.
I'll be able to make it all right from here on.
The captain said I was to stick close by, see that you didn't get hurt.
Oh. Those two in the corner there.
The pilots call them the James boys. The blonde one is Jesse, the kid Frank.
And the guy with the pipe?
Operations officer for the group.
At ease, Boats. I'm going to cruise around and get acquainted.
I'll be here.
Mind if I sit down?
Go right ahead.
My name's Charlie Gaines. I'm with American Press.
Yeah, we know.
My syndicate assigned me to the fleet. I managed to wrangle an empty sack on the Tasman Sea.
My name is Ed Juris.
Oh, glad to know you, Ed. Only, I thought your name was Frank.
No, it's a nickname. I'm wingman for Jesse. I mean, Tommy Nelson.
Where are you from, Ed?
Omaha.
What'd you do back in Omaha?
Went to high school.
Huh? How about you, Nelson? Where are you from?
Lexington.
Well, say, I was in your hometown not so long ago.
I wasn't born on the Lexington, mister. It's an aircraft carrier.
Oh. Oh, then you've seen combat.
A little.
The boys are starting the game. You two want to join?
How about it, Jesse?
Got nothing else to do. See you around, Mr. Gaines.
Oh, fellas, don't blame me. I didn't start the war.
The USS Tasman Sea was a taut ship. So were the men who sailed it. Sure, she'd had her keel full of shakedown cruises, but nobody had shot back. And until somebody shoots back, a ship is just a ship, not a lady. The men, well, most of them had roamed the Pacific on various ladies for almost a year and a half, but they still weren't sure. The Tasman Sea was newborn. Most of the pilots were untried, untested. But they weren't going to have to wait long. The Pacific isn't half so big during a war.
Wait until I get everything squared away. Be ready in a second.
What's the word, Boats?
Well, you know as much as I do. Must be getting ready for a sortie.
Okay, fellas. Keep your eyes on this map. Our ship is about here. Heading for this island, Macon. The Marines are going in here. Before they hit the beach, you're going to plaster it.
How about opposition, Randy?
You shouldn't have too much. Plenty of AA, but not too many enemy aircraft.
How many is not too many, Randy?
The Lexington will be sending her birds over the same targets, so let's not all return as aces.
In other words, we're to leave just enough of the island for the Marines to put a flag up.
Yeah. The battleships throw the first punch. Our first group takes off at 0700. Final flight instructions and groupings will be given at 0600. Knock off and get some sleep.
The battle wagons will open up around 0500. Probably won't see much, but you'll be able to hear them.
This Randy Benton, he doesn't fly, does he?
Nope.
Funny, he looks young enough, even with the gray hair.
Well, some guys get prematurely gray.
Yeah, I got a cousin like that. Been gray since he was 19.
Oh. Was your cousin at Corregidor, too?
By November of 43, we could see the road signs that pointed out the route back home. By November of 43, we were quite sure we weren't going to be pushed back home, that we could get there via the Japanese homeland. The Marines no longer had to take each island with their bare hands. By the time we'd rolled as far as Macon, the Navy could lay down a carpet for the Marines to walk on. But don't get any idea that the war was over. We still had a long way to go. And the way was paved with the wrecks of ships and planes, and watered down with the blood of men.
Apple to Red Leader. Over.
Red Leader, this is Apple. Go ahead.
Hey, Jesse, what was the name of the song in the picture where Fred Astaire danced on a bar?
Now, how should I know?
The tune keeps going through my head, but I can't remember the name.
Blue Leader to Red Leader. Over. This is Red Leader. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Tony?
We're about 3 minutes from target.
Check.
Just thought I'd make sure my watch was right.
It's right.
Roger.
Red Leader to group. We hit the beach first. Let's hit it hard. And give that reporter something to write home about.
Enough material for a story, Mr. Gaines?
I'd get a lot more if these pilots would light for a minute. 3 solid days and they're still taking off.
Why don't you catch them before they go below for a quick sleep?
Well, I tried that last night. By the time I got my mouth open, they've got their eyes closed.
Hi, folks. Any of my boys heading for home?
Can't see any soon.
You got a few minutes, sir.
The name's Randy.
I got a nice long pitch the home office wrote for me. It's supposed to warm you up so you'll like me.
Ever use it?
I haven't had a chance.
The guys like you, Mr. Gaines. Mostly because you keep out of their hair.
Of course, you know that if these pigeons of yours don't start opening up, I'm going to lose my job.
You'll get another one.
Well, you see, I can't afford to get fired. I'm liable to be drafted.
Every time a strike was made, the guys on the ship sat and waited. Waited for the chickens to come home to roost. You knew how long it should take to get to the target, drop the bombs, and return to the ship. You knew. But it didn't always work that way. However, we had no complaints. Strike after strike was made, and plane after plane came home. And then, just when the party looked like it was coming to a successful finish... our own flagship, just 2,200 yards off, was hit by a torpedo. Her 20s and 40s started to go, and then her big stuff started to explode, and her belly opened up, and... under she slid. We watched it. We picked up some of her wreckage that had been blown clear onto our own flight deck. We turned it over in our hands as she turned over. We couldn't wait any longer. We had to move, and move fast.
Boats, I was counting our planes. 21 got back. 2 were picked up by the Lexington.
I know the figures.
I'm not running the ship, Jesse. What do you want me to do about it?
How's a kid going to find us? How? How?
Okay. Only what happened to him?
Some Japs jumped us on the way back. The kid's sucking 3 of them off my tail.
Go on.
He was playing hide-and-seek through the clouds. Tony and I lost him.
How do you know they didn't knock him down?
I talked to him. He was heading for home. Only he hasn't got enough fuel, not half enough, the way we're pulling away.
Apple to Texas. Over.
I'll take it, Sparks. Texas here. Over.
It's the kid, Randy. It's the kid.
Is that you, Randy?
Yeah. Where are you?
I don't know. I got 2 of the zeros. Well, 1 sure, and the other was smoking before I lost them.
Where are you, Frank? What's your position?
I don't know. All the guys get back?
Yeah, yeah. You hit bad?
I don't even know what's keeping the plane up. She looks like a sieve.
Let me talk to him, Randy. Let me talk to him.
I look like a sieve, too.
Now listen to me, Frank. We're at point 740. 740. You got that?
Oh, what a tough break.
740.
We're sailing along course Rose Lemon Light.
Is it dark on the ship?
Dark?
Yeah. It's getting real dark. Did Jesse get back?
Let me talk to him, Randy. Let me talk to him.
You might as well.
Frank, it's me.
Hi, Jesse. We really didn't have it, didn't we?
We sure did. Listen, Frank, you won't be able to make it to us. You understand?
I know. I just didn't want to worry Randy.
Well, there's other ships. Maybe you can contact the Lex.
You know something? While I was busy with the Japs, I remembered the song. And I forgot it again. It's like nighttime, Jesse.
Now listen. If you have to ditch, make sure your Mayweather is on tight. Check your shoulder harness. Have your canopy locked open.
What's left of it is on real tight.
The life raft? Frank.
Sure, Jesse.
Why don't we turn the lights on the ship and go hunt for him?
Because there are 800 sailors down here and only one up there. It's called a war.
The engine is starting to miss, Jesse. There isn't enough gas left to fill up a cigarette lighter.
Take it easy, Jesse. Take it easy.
Never mind the advice, Randy.
Hey, Jesse. Is that reporter around?
Yeah.
Let me talk to him.
Hey, he wants to talk to you.
To me?
Yeah, hurry up.
What can I do for you, son?
I know you're busy, mister, and I know it's a lot of trouble, but, well, in some story you send back, would you mention my name?
Well, sure, son. I'll see you get a whole column.
Just a couple of lines. In the Omaha papers. I got a reason.
I'll see to it. Someone else take over. What do you think I'm made of?
Frank, ditch the plane with power on.
You're the boss, Jesse.
Now give us your position.
As near as I can make out, Sector 5.373.
Now take it down easy. Real easy. Use full flaps, but don't stall.
Just like I said. Hey, Jesse. Now I remember the title.
Now take it down easy. Easy.
One for my baby. One more for the road.
Remember that, reporter. If you ever get back to Omaha.
I don't quite understand.
Have one for his baby. And one more for the road.
Most Americans know that the soldiers, sailors, marines, and airmen who wear the uniform of the United States donate their own blood freely to help maintain an adequate blood bank. You see, they more than anyone else recognize how vital whole blood and plasma are to the maintenance of life when a man lies sick or wounded. They contribute because they recognize it to be a military necessity of which they themselves may one day be in need. Now, not all of us have the opportunity to serve in uniform, but each of us has the chance to become a blood buddy to an American serviceman. By donating our blood now, we can assure him that there will be an adequate supply to meet the conditions of any foreseeable emergency when he may be in need. At the present time, our supplies of blood plasma are gravely depleted, and each of us must take it upon himself to assure the fact that the blood bank of our armed forces is maintained at a safe level at all times. So do your part for the men who protect our freedom and American way of life. Your Navy urges you to call your local Red Cross chapter today and ask where and when you may make your donation of blood to the armed forces of the United States.
The USS Tasman had seen action. She was a lady. After Macon, she put into Pearl for improvements and then tied up in San Diego for a load of new planes.
and we could taste a long liberty. But before we had time to even wipe the salt water off, the word was passed that the USS Tasman was about to go back into the battle. So she gathered her sailors and dropped the coast of California far behind. The Tasman had been to the wars, and she remembered hard. She remembered the sight of her own flagship being struck down. And she remembered that she, too, had tasted blood and had bled a little.
How does it sound to you, Tony?
Sounds swell. I mean, well, it's got dignity and everything.
That's the best I can do.
Nobody said it was wrong, Jesse.
Well, it ain't good enough. You understand me? Not good enough.
I thought it was swell.
I just don't know how to write this kind of letter.
Nobody does, Jesse.
Maybe something like the reporter wrote in the paper. We never did thank you for the swell things you said about Frank.
I only said what I felt.
Hey, look, reporter. You mind if we call you that?
I did in the beginning. Not anymore.
Well, writing is your business.
Mind if I see the letter?
It's a little crumbled.
Well, I can make it out.
It's to Frank's wife. There's so much to say in it when I put it down on paper.
Dear Mrs. Jurist, this letter is being written by the guys who flew with Ed.
Well, that was his real name.
It's being written not only to you, but to his daughter. It's hard for us to say what we feel, but we'd like to tell you that for the rest of your life, you can be proud of your husband, and the kid can be proud of her father. He was a great guy. So great a guy that he died helping a friend of his get away.
Oh, you weren't trying to get away, Jesse.
I should have stayed.
All we can say, ma'am, is that part of what you feel, we feel. Signed, Jesse, Randy, Tony, and so forth.
No good, huh?
Would you mind if I signed it, too?
Beds stay empty a long time on the carrier. But even these fill up. Ghosts walk around the flight deck. But they try to stay out of sight because it's hard enough to win a war without memories. And so the talk turns to where are we headed, which island is next, and how long is it going to last?
If I didn't know you guys were fighting on our side...
You just play a lousy game of poker.
Well, the next time I write about you heroes, I'm going to mention to the innocent public not to play cards with you.
Well, it's just that civilian dough goes to our heads.
Yeah. Anything you need me for, sir?
Boat, you're the only guy on the ship calls me, sir, and don't think I don't appreciate it.
Come on, reporter. Sit in for a couple more rounds. I promised my girl I'd buy her a fur coat.
Now, hear this. This is the captain. We've just received word that the second front has been opened. Normandy on the French coast has been invaded. Word will be given as it's received. Standing.
Boy, they must be really living it up back home.
Oh, I don't think so. Those invasions cost.
Everything costs in the war.
It's been a long time coming. Wonder how many ships we lost.
I'd hate to be flying over that coast. They say it's alive.
You're better than walking in.
I did a feature story during the 30s on Normandy. It's pretty country.
Yeah, well, it won't be. A 1,000-pound bomb digs a deep hole.
Thousands of hedgerows.
They won't let us just take over. You can bet on that.
Let's get back to the game.
Hey, reporter... You're up on these things. You got your eye all over the world.
Not quite.
Anyway, you should know. Now that the second front is opened...
Yeah?
They gonna forget about us?
We didn't have too much chance to think about it because Baby was eating away across the Pacific real fast. She and her escorts tied into a task force and kept heading into what was a Japanese ocean. Our destination was a group of islands known as the Marianas. Islands that had to be taken no matter what it cost. And it was due to cost.
Guys, the main fleet is busy around the Philippines. The Japs have most of their surface vessels cruising those waters, so there'll only be a couple of carriers available for this action.
And I thought everyone was in Europe.
The action is to take place on an island called Saipan.
Never heard of it.
The Marines will go in first.
As usual.
The lessons we learned at Macon, we'll put to use at Saipan.
Now, hear this. Latest report on the Normandy invasion. 4 points have been secured. And one beach, our forces have gone inland 12 miles. Stand easy.
We're going to have plenty of enemy aircraft opposition.
Hey, reporter, is 12 miles a lot or a little?
The Jap lines have shortened, and that'll make it tougher all the way around.
A lot, I guess.
The Tasman will concentrate on this part of the island. These pictures are blow-ups of our target.
12 miles ain't so much.
Now, this is where we can expect a troop concentration. The anti-aircraft will be murdered.
Let's fool them and not go.
This is their airfield. Get as many planes on the ground as you can. The guys who don't get off can't hurt you.
Ain't it the truth?
Now hear this. Latest word from Normandy. The Army is making rapid gains.
So that's where they are.
The Navy is bringing in supplies. Over 3,000 airstrikes have been made.
Now that's a lot.
I'll keep the entire ship informed as word is received. Stand easy.
Take off at 0600. Final briefing at 0500. Try and get some sleep.
Why is it I never can sleep the night before a big show? What is this big show? Remember the movie they showed us the other night? The one where the pilots were always standing at a bar getting medals?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said whenever they took off.
This is it, fellas. This is the big show.
Oh. Now let's hit the sack. We got a tough day tomorrow. Tough day? Makes it sound just like going to an office.
What are you guys gassing about? Why don't you hit the sack?
Exactly what I was telling Jesse. Got to get some sleep. Got a big show tomorrow.
Is he kidding?
What squares? Don't you guys ever see any war pictures?
There's always some kind of hidden tension the night before an action. But it's never as bad as the first time you realize that somebody has got you in their sights. Well, the USS Tasman had put in her maiden voyage. And only the men who were new in the Navy slept with their faces to the bulkhead. The night passed, and the final briefing passed. And bright and early, the planes began to screen down the flight deck, out over the Pacific, and on to the office.
Pineapple to orange. Over. This is orange. Go ahead. Over. Sounds like a fruit salad. I wonder who picks out those crazy names.
Orange to group. We're within sight of the target. Keep your eyes peeled for enemy planes.
Eyes peeled. Must be a fruit. Hey, Jesse, look at that airfield. It's loaded with sitting ducks.
Let's get after them.
You heard the man, fellas. This is it.
You and those movies.
Tony. All accounted for, Jesse.
Stay in formation. Let's head for home.
Okay with me. How many more trips do we have to make?
I don't know.
I'm beat, Jesse. Dead beat.
Orange to group. Keep your eyes open. You can relax when we hit the ship.
Yeah, that's what you said last night.
Orange to Beehive. Orange to Beehive. Over.
Orange, this is Beehive. Over.
We're coming home, Randy.
What's the count, Jesse?
All the chicks are safe and sound.
Things are a little quiet here.
Well, that's good. We're too tired to have to play games coming in.
I got good news for you. We're pulling out.
Now maybe we can sit at a bar and have them pin medals on it.
The sea's kicking up a little, Jesse. Tell your boys to mind their P's and Q's when they hit the flight deck.
Roger. One for my baby and one more for the road.
You okay, Jesse James?
Yeah, I got 2-0 today.
Nice going.
One for me. One for my brother, Frank.
It sounded easy, but it wasn't. The enemy managed to make it plenty hot for days. Bombs were bouncing 50 feet away, bombs where we'd just been. Our gun crews stood at their stations for 3 solid days, pouring bullets into every Zero, Zeke, and Betty that came screaming at us out of the sun. Our planes kept coming home and reloading so they could go back to soften up Saipan for the Marines. And then Saipan was behind us. But the war continued. The USS Tasman was given another target. And still another.
Keep it down. This is Guam, the target for tomorrow.
The captain said you could get this story off for me, Sparks. I'll read it slowly so that you can get it all.
Now hear this. The invasion of France is rolling along. 3 towns have been taken.
By the time you read this story, the USS Tasman and her crew will be attacking another island. The men that you've met in my column are the ship. The kids who man the guns. The kids who fly the planes. The kids.
Red leader to blue leader. Target at 4 o'clock.
Each one is a hero. for the word hero means many things.
We sweep in at these 3 points. Expect plenty of opposition.
Blue leader to group. At 9 o'clock. That opposition the skipper was talking about.
Only a couple of more lines, Sparks. Just so that you won't lose sight of who they are. Just so that they don't become uniforms. So that they don't become fighting machines or, even worse, statistics in your local paper. I want you to know them personally.
Now, hear this.
Tony was in his first year of college. He goes to the movies. He smokes too much.
Pineapple orange? Some show, huh, Jesse?
Jesse is a serious kind of kid. Remembers a little too much. Likes to read books that he's read before.
One for my baby, one for me, and one for Frank.
The war goes on. The pilots are walking to the ready room. The ship is steaming on. The future looks bright, but not too long for some of these sailors. Try to remember what they're fighting for. Try to remember after they've fought. Remember Randy. Too old to fly. Too old at 29.
The target for tomorrow is Tinian. All we know is that it won't be easy. The target for tomorrow is a Jap-held island. This map gives us our target.
So now you know a little something about the baby carrier known as the USS Tasman and the men who flew her 24 planes. I say a little something because it would take a long, long time to tell you all about the ship and the men who sailed it. In the overall strategy of war, I guess she was just another ship, another piece of equipment to shove into action. But to the men who stood on her decks, to the men who took off in her planes, well, she was just about as wonderful a ship as any sailor had ever sailed. The baby carrier, the USS Tasman, came out of the war with 6 battle stars. And, mister, when you earn 6 battle stars, you don't stay a baby. By the way, one of the most important things in a sailor's life is mail call. No matter how many stripes you wear, no matter how many ports of call you've entered, why, there's nothing on the 7 seas can give you the kick of hearing your name at mail call. So look, I want to thank everyone who's been kind enough to drop me a line. I want you to know I appreciate it. In fact, I'd appreciate hearing from all of you guys who've shipped aboard. Just address it, now hear this, NBC... New York 20, New York. Thanks again. And until next week at the same time, all hands secured.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, has brought you another in the series of dramatic incidents based on the experiences of the men and women in the United States Navy. In today's story, Boats was Larry Haynes. The cast included Michael O'Day, John Sylvester, Cliff Carpenter, Vinton Hayworth, and Leon Janney. The program was written and directed by David Harmon, produced by Chick Vinson and Cy Levine. Jack Costello speaking. Tune in again next week at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will once again present...
Now, hear this!
Next, listen to Tales of the Texas Rangers over NBC.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. You can find past episodes of this show, more from Now Hear This, Frontier Gentlemen, and all types of other old-time radio, all at relicradio.com. You'll also find links there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all of this possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.